has definitely protected us on the highways and the byways, traveling to and fro from Michigan, Milwaukee, and just so thankful for his presence and all that he has done. I'm going to try to just do this thing and get out your way and let you get back to your shouting. Okay, so let's go to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. 1 John chapter 5. See, Malcolm's getting geeked up back there. You hear him? He's getting ready. No, it's all right, man. Get ready. Get ready. It's coming. Just wait. It's coming. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. When you get there, say amen. All righty. Simply says this: whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is the verse I want to focus on, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to read verse 4 one more time from where I'll be taking my thought from. Verse 4 simply says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Today, I want to preach to you a simple message entitled, I Was Born to Win. I was born to win. Amen. Let us pray and ask for God's blessing upon this word. Lord Jesus, we just love you. We thank you, God, even for the atmosphere that has been created here in worship and praise and celebration of your greatness. And we just pray right now, God, that your word, Lord God, would go forth, that it would even give us further inspiration to praise and to worship your name, to carry us through, Lord Jesus, the wilderness of the week that is to come and the enemies that we are to confront. I pray in the name of Jesus, let the word of God go forth with liberty, may it impact and transform. May I pray it persuade and inspire individuals into relationship with you. And Lord, we just bind right now every work of the enemy and everything that would try to stop or try to thwart or inhibit the word of God from having free course in this place today. We speak and we praise your name today. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Glory to God. I want to talk about overcoming, about becoming an overcomer. But before we can understand what it means to be born to win, we must go back to the beginning where we find the first real conflict going on. Genesis chapter 3, I want you to turn there with me just for a minute. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to take a look at verse number 13. And you're all familiar with this story. This is the passage that illustrates the story of Adam and Eve. They have recently just partaken of the forbidden fruit. God is now confronting them regarding their sin, and he's now delegating punishment for their actions. He has now come to Eve and Satan, and he says something that is very interesting here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now look at verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I think it's very interesting that Pastor made mention of that just a moment ago. What you're seeing right here is the very first family feud. The very first family feud. There are two families that are mentioned here. There is the family of the serpent or Satan, and then there is the family of God, which is going to come through the seed of the woman. This is the very first prophecy of Jesus Christ, because, and also his virgin birth, because women don't have seed, they have eggs. Men have seed, but yet she is going to have produce a seed of some sort in combination with God. That this is referring to the virgin birth. Secondly, because of the differences between the seed or the offspring of the serpent and the offspring of mankind via Jesus Christ or via God, that there was going to be enmity. And that word enmity literally means a hatred, a malice, a rage against between the two families and the lineages. And although the seed of the family of the woman would be injured, injured during the conflict, that the seed of the woman, which is through Jesus Christ, was going to come out on top and be victorious, while the seed of the serpent was going to be crushed. The fact of the matter is that the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ, the lineage of Christ, and those that are of the family of God, they have been predestined to be victorious in any conflict or any encounter with the enemy. That we were actually born to win. We find this also in Matthew 13:38, Jesus telling a parable of a field, of a certain man who owned a field, and he sowed good seed and wheat in the field. And the Bible says that while men slept, that his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat, or sowed weeds amongst the wheat. And that when the blade began to come up and the crop began to come through the ground, they began to see that there was these tares that were intermingled with the wheat. And God begins to say that we need to wait until the time of the harvest comes before we take these particular plants off. We see in Matthew 13 that Jesus is describing the explanation for this. In verse 38, it says, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world." As I just said, that there are two families that exist. You're either with the devil or you're with God. There are no gray lines. There is no walking offense. Either you're with the family of Satan or you're with the family of God. The question that you should be asking yourself is, how do I know which family that I'm a part of? I want to give you some criteria by which we can establish this definition. We find in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, it says that he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you are living in a lifestyle of sin, then you are part of the family of Satan. Your cousins are demons. Your uncle is something that is satanic. When you go to family reunions, you are participating in satanic activity. Your relatives are of the devil if you are living in sin. I'm trying to make it real plain, because we have some people who think that they're part of God's family when they're living a lifestyle that is completely contrary to the Word of God. Sin is the primary characteristic that shows that a person is related to the devil. And because it is the primary expression of his nature, everything that the devil does expresses itself in some sort of rebellion against God, in some sort of sinful desire or action. We find in John 8:44, when Jesus is having a discourse with the Pharisees, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so that either you're a part of the family of Satan or the family of God. And the fact of the matter is, you want to be on the winning side. We want to be on the winning side. We don't want to be with a bunch of losers. You don't want to be a bunch of losers, do you? I don't want to be with a bunch of losers. God's family is destined to win. If you are born of God, then you're going to have these characteristics. 1 John 3 verse 9 says this, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Number one, I want to point out about being born of God, about being born to win, that if you've been born of God, then you will not be living in a lifestyle of sin. That God does not save us so that we can live in sin, but he saves us so that we can get out of sin. That sin is a bondage, it is death, it is destruction for the immortal soul. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." That God has called us out of sin, not to live a lifestyle of sin. Now what I find interesting in this text in 1 John 3 verse 9 is that yes, it says that we don't commit sin if you're born of God, but it also tells you how that you can achieve this. That the way that a child of God is born and no longer commits sin is by keeping God's seed within him, which is the Word of God. I want to read this verse again, verse 9 in 1 John 3. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, For his seed remaineth in him. And we find out what that seed is. In 1 Peter 1:23 it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you want to, the thing is, if you're born of God, then you've got to hang on to your seed, because that is your DNA. Your seed is not an offering. Your seed is the word of God. You've got to hang on to that seed, because the devil will do whatever he can to remove that seed. The word of God tells me that thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I have a seed down inside of me that identifies me with the Savior. And because I've been born of the word of God and of the seed, then I can overcome the wicked one. The Bible tells me in Psalm 119:133, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That I must have every step ordained of God and hold on to that seed. Everything that we confront in our day and age is trying to get us to deny the word of God, that it is true. We are bombarded and confronted with news flashes and with Facebook updates and every type of word and every type of news that to try and get us to deny our faith. The Bible tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You've got to hold on to the word of God. Get a seed in your heart. Get a word in your heart. Put it inside of you, because it is what helps you to overcome the wicked one. Number three, if you are the family of God, then you were born to be loved by God and to love others. The Bible says in 1 John 4:7, that beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That the primary characteristic for really defining somebody who is really a part of the family of God is not how long your hair is, or how well dressed you are, or how long you speak in tongues, or how much you pray, or what office you hold in the church, and what minister or what ministry you're under. That is not the characteristic. Doesn't matter how big the cross is around your neck, or how many armor bearers you have, or what Bible, how big your Bible is. None of these things impress or move God. God is looking for one characteristic that is part of his DNA, and that characteristic is how much can you love the lost and show his love to a lost and dying world. It is the love of Jesus Christ that is the primary identifier for the believer, that shows that we are born of God. It is the greatest weapon that we have against the adversary, who only operates out of hatred, malice, and anger. But Christ's love, it conquers all. Because the Bible said that, but God committed his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was by God's love that we were rescued and we were able to overcome the enemy. The Bible says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. It's no wonder that people don't want to come to church, because they can't identify the real Christians, because the real Christians aren't treating each other with real, genuine love. Instead, we want dissension and gossip and discord and division. And instead, we talk bad about each other. And so when people come to the church, they can't find any real Christians, because Jesus said that the way that you'll know that these are my disciples is how much they love each other. Okay, let's go back to 1 John 5 real quick. 1 John 5:1 says this: whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You can say, I love you, Jesus, more than anything all day long. But if you're not keeping the commandments, the Bible does not call that love. The Bible said that if you love God, that you'll keep his commandments, and that you'll follow in his word, that you'll follow in his footsteps, abiding in his word. Jesus said it best this way in Luke 6:46. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's pretty plain. How can you call me Lord and call me Master and you're not doing the things which I've asked you to do? The Bible says in John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That whenever you are yielding yourself or cooperating with sinful actions, you are making that thing your master. And you cannot serve two masters. Either you will love one or hate the other, the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, that you've got to make a decision whether or not that you're going to truly choose God and truly be born of him. Now, here's my main point. If you are of the family of God, then you are born to win. If you're of the family of God, you are born to win. The birth that we experience in Christ is a birth of victory. I was praying yesterday about this message, trying to find out what I was to preach. And when I read this verse, this was the verse that really I felt the Holy Ghost just bubble inside of me regarding that God wants the church to realize that it is a victorious church and that it is not defeated, that despite what the situation may be telling you or what the environment is telling you, that you are born to win. You are not born to lose. God created you to be victorious, that He's created you to overcome the wiles of the enemy. The Bible says this in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That despite what tribulations that you might be fighting, God says, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Don't lose sleep over it. I have overcome the world. I overcame it at the cross. The enemy that you're fighting has been disarmed. That's what the Bible said, that he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, that they are fighting without any real weapons. But you, if you have the armor of God, you're armed to the teeth, and you can defeat any weapon or any enemy that is fighting against you. So I want to encourage you today that if you've been born again, being born of water and of the Spirit, being born of the incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth be yet forever, your family is destined to win. This family feud has only one outcome, and the family of God is what's coming out on top. The thing is, how can you say that you've been born in the family of God when you're not overcoming the world? It's one of the identifiers that God gives us to show if someone has been born of God is that they are overcoming the world. The world is a system of lifestyles, philosophies, ideologies, customs, and traditions of men which are under the direct influence of Satan. And God does not give birth to losers, but he gives it to those who win and fight against the world. That if we're really overcoming the world, that means that we're overcoming sin in our life. And we're evangelizing and taking back territory that rightfully belongs to God. That whatever you're fighting, God has said, I have gifted you to overcome the world. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, that says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That if you're falling in love with the world's systems, with its ideologies, its philosophies, and its systems, that you cannot truly call yourself a child of God. And that you're not overcoming it, but you're being overcome by it. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to encourage you that the temptation that you're experiencing is temporary. That the lustful desire that is there, it's temporary. But the word of God, it abides forever. And if you rely on the word of God to overcome whatever it is, it could be depression, it could be anxiety, it could be financial difficulty, it could be sickness in your body, it could be mental instability, it could be problems in your family, discord in your marriage, whatever it is, God has caused you to be born again to overcome the world. That therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. That yes, we were born into a family of losers. Our names was unrighteous and wicked. Our name was isolated and rejected. Our names were sinful and disgusting. Our names were despicable. Our names were horrible. But then Christ then put his name on us and adopted us into his family. And we have now been born into overcomers. We've been born into overcomers. The Bible said that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I want you to understand that the new birth is more than speaking in tongues. The new birth is more than just being baptized in Jesus' name. The new birth and being born again is more than being able to shout and dance around the church. The new birth is that I once was lost and now I'm found. That I once was blind and now I see. That my life has been transformed and radically changed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is the new birth, and I'm a new creation. And everything that was affiliated with me from my past no longer has any hold or bearing on me anymore. But the problem that we have in the church is that we don't realize that. We don't realize what we have in Christ. The scripture says, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5:21, that it says, for he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We were made righteous, and because we need to operate out of that knowledge that we are no longer part of this system. The Bible says this in James 4:4, that ye adulterers and adulteresses, knowing not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's a scary thing to say. We're saying, I'm a friend of God. Can you imagine being the enemy of God? If you're befriending the world and being an associate with it, you are becoming an enemy of God. You're causing yourself to hate God. The church is increasingly becoming like the world instead of overcoming the world. I saw a news story this week on CBS. It was a story of a church, and I believe it's in Washington, D.C. And what was interesting about this church is that it's a home for Muslims. That every week, during the week, they have prayer services for Muslims. They open the church to Muslims, and the Muslims come in, and they have their prayer service for 2 or 3 hours, praying to Allah. They've been doing this for 8 years. They've been doing this. And the scary thing is this, that the Islamic congregation is now bigger than the church's congregation. That's what happens when you allow the world into your life of Christ. It's either you overcome it or it overcomes you. And the pastor of the church was saying, well, we need to be peaceful and this is what Christ wanted us to do. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that you need to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's what my Bible says. They opened the temple of God and made fellowship with idols and false gods. And this, the fact of the matter is that we're doing the same. We're no better. We're like, oh man, that's terrible. That's horrible. But then you turn on the TV and watch Scandal or watch Empire. Right? You turn on the TV and watch some zombie horror flick that has nothing but satanic mess in it. Right? You watch shows about murder and raping and killing and Dateline and all this other stuff in your house. You're befriending the world. The Lord really began to deal with me on this over the last few years, but especially this week, that even with my wife, that we've really been trying to screen out anything that is ungodly, because I honestly think that one of the reasons why we're not seeing revival is because we are too cozy with the world. We tolerate and we accept what the world's systems are as if it's normal. First we got rid of like my antenna. I don't have cable and I don't have an antenna for television. And again, I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm just saying, that's me and my house. This is what we're doing. But I felt convicted about it. We got rid of it. And I've noticed that one of the things as a father that I'm trying to do is trying to protect my children from being exposed to foolishness and to the wickedness of this world. And just about every children's show, we got Netflix. We turn on Netflix and try and find a nice, good kid's show. But just about every kid's show we found has witchcraft in it or some sort of sorcery or magic. And you think, oh, it's fantasy. The fairies are just fantasy. It's of the devil. If it's not coming from God, it's of the devil. If you were to practice that stuff in the Old Testament, they'd take you behind out and stone you. But no, we think it's okay. We think it's all right. See, now you're getting quiet on me. And we think it's okay that we can fellowship with the world and come to church and worship God. You can't drink from the table of God and drink from the cup of devils. There's some things we got to get rid of. Last I heard, holiness is still right. Isn't that true? That we need to separate ourselves from this world. If there's anything in there that comes even close to a satanic or worldly philosophy, we need to burn it, get rid of it. So that we can overcome. We become too cozy with this world. We've become way, way too nice with the world. And until we overcome, we get rid of that, we're not going to be walking in true victory in the Word of God. One of the things I really respect about the old time church is that they walked in holiness. Now, don't get me wrong. Some stuff seemed a little crazy, but the thing is, the power of God moved under those ministries. Because God respected the sacrifice that they were willing to take. That God, you are more important to me than this show. I started worrying when I started cutting this stuff out. Like, I don't want to deprive my son of experiencing, you know, his childhood and watching all these shows. I'm not depriving him. I'm saving him. I'm protecting him from the foolishness of this world. You got to watch what you're, you got to take a look at what you're watching. Yeah, it makes sense. You be careful what you're listening to, what you're wearing, what you're exposing yourself to. We got to be careful. One last thing I want to say is that when you are born of God, that the world's going to hate you. The world's going to hate you. If the Muslims are coming into your church to pray to Allah, then something's wrong. Something ain't right. Something's not quite right there. The Bible says in John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Whenever you are in a fight with God, not with God, with the devil is going to hate on you because you're a winner. You're born to win. And he's going to do everything he can to hate on you, to destroy you, to dismantle you, to disarm you, to discourage you. But you have to be a survivor and outlast and outwit, outdo everything. Be outstanding against this enemy that we fight against. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, to stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That you're going to stand your ground with Christ. I say this, I'm trying to close. I say this last thing. This verse really kind of made me think. Look at 1 Peter 4:17. That you're born to win. You're born to win. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Really think about what that verse is saying. That judgment begins with us. That we were born again to be victorious, to overcome the world. And any area where we're not overcoming the world is an area that we're not renewed in our mind, where we're not allowing Christ to be expressed. But I want to encourage you today that if you're truly of God, that you will outlast. It doesn't matter how high you jump when you shout. It doesn't matter, you know, how much you pray. What matters is, are you going to be in? You're going to be here when it's all said and done. That it's to him that endureth, the same shall be saved. Are you going to be, when all is said and done, when Christ returns, are you going to still be standing for what you believe? I want to encourage you today that if you're born of God, you are born to win. But being born to win and being part of this family means that we also have to cut out some things that may be holding us back. Because that's what the devil is. The devil is trying to get into your family. He's trying to get into the church. He's trying to get into every aspect of our lives. And we can't let him in. If you become friends with the world, it's going to destroy you. You've been born to win, not born to lose, not born to be in sin, not born to be in bondage, not born to be depressed or oppressed by the enemy. You're born to have life and that much more abundantly. But you can only walk in that life until you realize it and understand what the Word of God says. Let's stand. Let's stand. I thought that first in my head, this would be a good message to preach. But then as I started thinking about it, this was not one of those shouting messages after all. But that's not my job anyway. I know that's not my job anyway. But we need to understand, you're born to win. If you've been born again, you're born to win. And that you need to remind the enemy that he's a loser. That the seed of a woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. And that no matter what the devil throws at you, that you don't be weary in well-doing. But in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The Bible says, I believe it's in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's how you tell if someone's really in this thing, that they keep on going. That you see these Christians, they've been in this thing 30, 40, 50 years. Still strong in the faith, still holding on to what they believe. Because they're born of God. They're born to overcome the challenges that they're fighting. And I want you to know, if you've not been born again, that today is the day to do it. Today is the day to do it. Today is the day to get out of the loser family and get into the winning side. You can be born again. Whatever your name was before, God wants to change that into a winning name. A name that is righteous, a name that is amazing. And yes, you will experience tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I have overcome it. That greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And that when after you've done all to stand, that you keep on standing in Christ. That when you're at your wit's end and you don't know what else to do, you keep standing on what God has done for you. You keep reminding yourself who you are in Christ, that you are the head and not the tail, that you're a victor and you're not the loser, not the defeated. That you're better than what the enemy is telling you that you are. That you are born to win and overcome. Yes. Praise God. The new birth is such an amazing experience. To know that all of your sins have been washed away. That you are no longer what you were before. That you're a new creature in Christ. And if you've not experienced that new birth. If you've not been born of water. If you've not been born of the Spirit. And if you've not been born of the Word of God. With having that seed implanted inside of you. I open these altars to experience that birth. to come out from among them, be separate, to come away from the things that the enemy has entrenched in your lives, and to give them up and lay down your life for Christ. You can do it today. You have been born to win. God bless you.